It was a big final Nolan Live television show of the series last night. We had some shocking revelations about issues within the health service in Northern Ireland. One of them concerned an independent review launched after the Older Persons Commissioner, Eddie Lynch, after his damning report into historical abuse in Dunmurry Manor Care Home. Now, before we tell you about an investigation we've been working on for months, we want to remind ourselves why this review that the Department of Health have launched after the Older Persons Commissioner published his findings, why that independent review by the Department of Health is so important. Let's remind ourselves of the people at the very centre of this story. Many distraught families contacted the Nolan Show in the past, telling us about how their elderly loved ones had been mistreated and neglected. These are historical accounts of what happened to their loved ones in the past, not present day. Many of you will find this disturbing.
Yeah, they were down to the bone at the sort of by the beginning of October. They were down to the bone.
What do you mean they were down to the bone?
You could basically see bone. They were then infected with E. coli. And the smell of them, they didn't change the dressings on a regular basis, so the smell from it, they were supposed to turn her regularly to avoid the likes of pressure sores happening. That very rarely happened. She would have went hours without being turned. She was supposed to be kept at a 30 degree tilt at all times. There was a lot of times she would have been lying on her back rather than being in that tilt.
He had no care in that home whatsoever. And when the doctor says to me, look, we're going to have to try and put a line in here, he says, but this is going to be painful. He says, because his veins have dropped. There is no vein sitting up here. Well, Stephen, my father was in tears. My father was crying.
And I would publicly call a political inquiry into the running of the private sector in our wee country.
They're in that business. Run these homes at a certain price.
There has never been a more pressing time for us to have a health minister.
Are you telling me that the RQIA is presenting a situation this morning where they're saying they do not agree with your findings, but when they had the opportunity to present evidence to disagree with it, they didn't do that?
That's correct.
He was lying there in a pair of underpants and a vest. He wasn't prepared for hospital. They had no baggage, clothing packed for him, no medication or anything on standby. I went into the room and I closed the door behind me. I waited to see when the next member of staff would come in, knowing that my father was waiting to be transported to the hospital by ambulance. I waited 2 hours. Oh, it was horrendous.
There's many failures here, Steve. When you listen to a testimony like that, and as an MLA, I'm embarrassed this morning that this won't be the first point of business on Monday morning in a functioning Stormont Assembly.
My father was crying at the excruciating pain that needle was going in to try and find a vein, to try and get a line. And that doctor, I would say that doctor had a tear in his eye when he was doing that.
Well, I was a staff nurse. No, it was horrific. I mean, there weren't enough staff, you know, for the residents to get proper care. I mean, really, it was get them up, get them washed, get them dressed, and then set them in a chair. Or for the ones who are bedbound, just get them washed, you know, leave them, really. It was that bad that I just felt that I wasn't given any sort of standard of care at all.
Because I've read the older person's report, the Commissioner for Older People. He was talking about bed sores down to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
They found faeces on curtains.
I was the one that found the lady who's referred to in the report with the bed sores down to the bone. There's no fatty tissue or anything. It's just a big hole. But it was right, but you can actually see the bone. I mean, and it was on, you know, her backside. So you can imagine that there's this a bit of fatty tissue there, so for it to actually go down to the bone, I mean, she must have been lying there for quite a while for that to happen.
It's a failure of the most vulnerable in our society. If this are the failures that we're storing up in 2018, what hope can we give those that are fearful of what care is there?
was sent back to Damery Manor again, and I was assured by a few of the nurses that they would get her up and moving and that she wouldn't be in bed for the rest of her time there. That never happened. She spent all her time in bed. I constantly complained for them to get her out of bed. They finally did that in April time, and when they put her in a wheelchair for her lunch, her neck muscles had wasted away, so she couldn't really hold her neck up anymore. So it was just, all right, that's her, she's bedridden from here on in.
He was just lying curled up in his underclothes with a wee white sheet over him with like a yellow mixture and white vomit over the bed. And may I also add to this, Stephen, the stench of urine was rich. It was an absolute abysmal sight that my father was lying in.
So your father was lying in vomit, yes, and urine?
Yes. It had dried in.
Was your mum able to speak to you about her care?
No. As I say, when she did go in on the 18th of February, she could talk. But after the pneumonia, she sort of lost the be able to talk.
By the time of her death, Karen, what weight was she?
4 stone.
I gave a statement to the police in December 2016 for what I'd seen in November. It was about, I felt that there was serious neglect and abuse going on in the home.
How would you sum up what happened to your mum in there?
Oh, disgusted. Absolutely and utterly disgusted. I am heartbroken. And I say this will live with me to the day I die. I mean, my mum passed away in November 16, and I can't grieve properly for her because there's so much anger. And until somebody pays for this, there'll always be that anger.
Goodness, it's shocking, isn't it? That's in the past, that's not present day Damery Manor, but many concerns about what happened in that home in the past. So what happened was the older persons commissioner, he's a guy called Eddie Lynch, he wrote a damning report into it all. And one of the Department of Health responses to his report was for them to launch their own independent review. And it is that Department of Health independent review that the Nolan Show has significant questions about. Will the public perceive it to be independent? So our questions today are for the Department of Health and some of their officials. Now, they have been refusing to answer questions from journalists trying to hold them accountable while their independent review is being carried out. So we think you need to know how this independent review has been set up under the Permanent Secretary, Richard Pingelly. In the absence of a government in Northern Ireland and in the absence of government ministers in Northern Ireland, Mr. Pingelly is the man in charge. He's the man who is ultimately accountable. First of all, we need you to know that the Department of Health has set themselves up in an oversight group of the independent review. Despite the fact there may be questions highlighting their feelings, the Permanent Secretary, that man in charge, Richard Pingelly, has agreed the terms of reference with the result that he and his senior health officials have the power to, quote, I'm quoting from the terms of reference, help focus the review on key issues. So think about that. If there are questions about them, or their responsibility, the department appears to have given itself the power to help focus the review away from that. Now, we have no evidence that any individual on that oversight group would attempt to make that happen. But does the way the group has been set up sound independent to you? What's your perception as a member of the public? Because you need to have confidence in it. And this oversight group, by the way, has pretty powerful people on it. The safeguarding leads of health trusts, social work and nursing directors, the RQIA, the Department of Health. Guess who's not on it? Who hasn't been put on it? Not one family member of any of the people like who you heard from this morning, whose parents and grandmothers and grandfathers were so horribly treated in Dunmurry Manor. Not one of them have been put on the oversight group. There are no MLAs, no elected representatives have been put on that oversight group. No lay people. And so we come to reveal to you some of our investigation and a bombshell for any grieving family member trusting this independent review set up under the Permanent Secretary Richard Pengelly. Now, the company doing the review is a company called CPEA, and they think if the review has been set up in such a way, in terms of reference, that the department could seek to make changes to their conclusions. Now, remember, there's no evidence that Richard Pengelly or anyone else will try to change the independent report. This is about public confidence and public perception. But have you clocked what the reviewer is saying? I want to read this out to you. We asked how they could carry out an independent review into the work of some of those who may be asked questions and who have the ability to oversee the review. In an astonishing admission, we can reveal to you what this independent company CPEA said. So here's exactly what we asked them. How can CPEA carry out an independent review if some of the people who may be reviewed have the ability to oversee the investigation? How did they answer it? Well, they included the following words. Who pays the piper calls the tune. Who pays the piper calls the tune. I spoke to the Older Persons Commissioner, Eddie Lynch, and he has deep concerns.
Well, I think that statement is very concerning. And I think it would naturally alarm myself and the public who are seeking action on the back of the Home Truths investigation. And the department really has an obligation to be open and transparent in this process as well.
Well, there it is. And who pays the piper calls the tune. Yeah. And the public's been told there's an independent review. Mm-hmm.
I think there is a question mark over that. And if that certainly gives a perception of that it isn't as independent as is being made out. And if that is the case, I think, you know, I would call on the department to really come out and explain that statement and assure both myself and the public that the work that they're carrying out isn't being determined by the officials, but that the review team are deciding who they speak to, where they go to. But that certainly is concerning to me.
Have you ever seen the like of it in your life?
No.
So how can the public have confidence in this?
Well, I think that's a challenge for the department. It's one of the things that I've said on the back of my investigation. On the back of this investigation, I am very concerned about the impact it has on many older people. I go across Northern Ireland on a weekly basis. I know the fear that's out there. But what I'm trying to get the message across is Dunmurry Manor is not the norm. It's the exception. But the failings in Dunmurry Manor are totally unacceptable. And the failings of the system that led to those abuses and poor treatment of older people is totally inexcusable. And what needs to happen is a very clear message sent from all the authorities that they're taking this serious, that they're responding to these issues, and to reassure the public that they will take any findings of this review seriously and will publish it in full.
Next to what the Nolan Show has received, the CPEA have told us in correspondence, clearly the overseer could dispense with our services or seek unreasonable changes to our conclusions. Now, the producers and this team and I, we have read that sentence many, many times. Clearly the overseer, they could dispense with the services of this independent review team or seek unreasonable changes to our conclusions. The logic of that is they could also seek reasonable changes to our conclusions. What was your reaction when you saw that?
Well, that doesn't sit comfortably with the suggestion that this is an independent review. And, you know, I think you'd have to say there are major question marks. I think it's very important that the public know what the findings of this review team are and what the department are going to do on the back of them. These issues are so serious and affect many older people across Northern Ireland, many people in the public are looking at this, the outcome of this investigation, and are demanding the government take action, as I am, to make sure this doesn't happen again. It is far too serious. And I think that it needs to, you know, for many years now, Stephen, there have been many recommendations made to government about care homes. There have been previous reviews done. There was warnings given by my predecessor to the committee up at Stormont. What's it going to take to bring about change? And we haven't seen the change that's needed. We urgently need things like an adult safeguarding bill for Northern Ireland that gives the authorities who are responsible for ensuring the safety of vulnerable people the legislation to do their job properly and protect people. And that's what's missing. So this process has to be open and transparent. And it is not about any failures that are identified in the system.
I asked them, what protections have been put in place to stop a conflict of interest whereby some of the oversight group have the ability to focus the investigation away from areas pertaining to them? And CPEA responded, this is probably a question for the permanent secretary to whom we have access if necessary. So an independent review team are saying, well, in terms of protections, they aren't quoting anything to us. Go back to the permanent secretary as part of the oversight group. Does that feel right?
Well, certainly that's not the response I would have expected. I would have thought that they would have been clear, as they have been to me, in relation to they're not being told where to go to and who to speak to. They're not being directed that they're going widely across the sector speaking to people. But any sense or any, you know, perception that they are being influenced or focused by the department...
Well, they've been overseen. Overseen.
Well, any perception of that is damaging to the review, is damaging to public confidence that this issue is being looked at. There are too many people out there, including the many families from Dunmurry Manor, who for many years fought to raise concerns about the care of their loved ones. Yeah. And those people are... You know, I've been struck, even many of them whose loved ones have passed away, they really are committed to making sure this doesn't happen again. And that's why this is so important. We need to reassure the public that they can be confident in the care that they get.
Are you curious, Eddie, as to why none of those families have been put on the oversight group or any elected representatives?
Well, I think the families have a key role to play. And, you know...
Some of them are on this oversight group.
Well, in my investigation, the families were at the heart of my investigation. The interviews that we had with them were so powerful. It told the real story, the real experience. And, you know, we often hear about person-centred approaches to health and social care. But, you know, there was clearly, in the case of Dunmurry Manor, the families were not just left out, but even when they raised concerns, those weren't listened to. And I think that's a fundamental problem in the system. We need to make a change of culture around complaints, about communication. The families and the staff in homes are the eyes and ears on the ground on a day-to-day basis, and their views have to be heard if we're going to change the system for the better going forward.
Do you think, I've sat in the living rooms of some of those families and looked at cases and cases of files where they had been trying to get answers out of the system for many months, if not years, and you'll be aware of that. Do you think some of those families, or at least one of them, should have been put on that oversight group?
I think it's a fair point to make, and I think it's something that could have been considered as part of the review process. I certainly, you know, I know families have been part of this review, but I think they do need to have a very strong part to play. Not just the family members at Dunmurry Manor, but also wider than that as well. There are many people contacting my office from across Northern Ireland who have a real interest in this. They care for their loved ones. They just want to see a system that's working, and they want to have the confidence that the system's working. And I think if we are to be open and transparent, and government adheres to be open and transparent, it has to do everything in its power to reassure those families that they're taking this seriously and they're going to do something about it.
What time frame, I asked this company, has been given for the investigation to complete its work? They say, we're building our report in modules through working sessions and specific conversations with stakeholders. We're aiming to have them completed in June. The timetable for publication of the review in its entirety could be shaped by the ability to put evidence in the public arena whilst the police and professional bodies are still investigating. So now we learn that the publication of this report might not happen until the professional bodies have finished investigating. That could be years. We don't even know what professional bodies are or are not investigating.
I think it's very important that the results of this review are delivered quickly. I think it's important, certainly as Commissioner, I would want to see the results of that review quickly. I understand that there are certain limitations that particularly police investigations have, but I wouldn't like to see that being made as an excuse to stop the findings being acted upon. So certainly that's one thing that I, in my role, I would certainly be wanting to go to the department and find out when the review is completed and to get access to those findings. I have committed to give a report 1 year on from my Home Truths report, and I will certainly do that, certainly speak to the families to give them an update of what I think has happened in the last year and where things are at. And that's my commitment to the families.
And in terms of whether the report by CPEA, who pays the piper calls the tune, in terms of that report where the piper is the Department of Health.
The comments that you've made or read out are concerning. And I think there is a real public interest in making sure that these issues are dealt with. And I see that as part of my role to make sure. My focus hasn't changed even from a year ago. You know, we carried out an investigation. We had 61 findings from that investigation. We had 59 recommendations. My focus is making sure that those recommendations are fully implemented and that I see evidence of implementation so that families and older people can be reassured right across Northern Ireland that when they place a loved one into a home, that they get looked after properly.
Many people would argue you rumbled the system and that you shook that tree and shook it quite hard. Did you get any kickback? Did you get any pressure?
I'm not going to lie. I think that, you know, this is a unique investigation. It hasn't happened before. And I think there were certain elements within the system that didn't like what I found and what I was saying.
How'd that manifest itself?
Well, you know, I think, you know, you get, you know, you have professional relationships. You know, myself and my team just get on with it. You know, for me, it's clear in my head. I know what this commission was set up to do. I know my responsibilities as commissioner is to safeguard and protect older people. And for me, that's just myself and my team doing our jobs. And we will follow this through and make sure that the system responds to those recommendations because we all have a vested interest in getting this right.
And we nearly are a year on now. Do you think the system is now much safer than it was a year ago?
I think what's happened is that a light has been shone on the failings. When I go across Northern Ireland, I do get older people coming up to me and saying that they're concerned with the findings, and I recognise that fear.
And finally, you've mentioned on a number of occasions about the independence of your investigation, and you did shake the tree, you did shake that system. If anybody who was paying you ever tried to call your tune, how would you respond?
Well, I wouldn't do it. I know, for me, I know the background to this organisation. It was something that when I joined the aged sector many years ago that older people demanded, an independent commissioner, a commissioner that was independent from government and government had no say on the issues that the commissioner would look at. And that's what's vital for this commission and other commissions, that we have that independence, that we have the strong legal powers as well, because they have come into their own in this investigation, that have allowed me and my team to identify, to dig behind the scenes and to find out the truth of how older people are being protected. And, you know, that's what's that's why older people call to have a commission in the first place. And, you know, hopefully this work, whilst it can raise fear, ultimately, it shines a light on bad practice, and hopefully that can help fix it going forward.
So, and this is the final question. Now that you do know this, who pays the piper calls the tune, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I'll be following up on the back of this. The review that the department had announced is obviously a key part of their work going forward in addressing the recommendations from my report. So I'll be following up with the department, asking questions about this. I'll also be meeting with them in the near future. So I'll be sure to ask the questions around this and address any concerns that will undoubtedly be raised by some of the comments that you've raised. Older people deserve to have the confidence that they have a healthcare system that meets their needs when they need it, and they shouldn't be, you know, living in fear or fearful for the future. And the department have a key role to play to make sure that happens.
Thanks, Eddie. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's the Older Persons Commissioner, Eddie Lynch, who says he's deeply concerned about the Nolan Show's revelations, and he will be asking questions of the Department of Health. I want to give you a make sure that you understand the full context of how CPEA responded to us with those words, "Who pays the piper calls the tune." So here's the full question we asked them. We said, how can CPEA, they're the review body, the independent review body, we said, how can CPEA carry out an independent review if some of the people who may be reviewed have the ability to oversee the investigation? And here's how they answered. They said, whilst it is always true that who pays the piper calls the tune, we have established to demonstrate our independence a much wider network of accountability through the reference group, through engagement with families, through an inclusive approach to all stakeholders, through COPNI, that's the Older Persons Commissioner, and a recent meeting with COPNI expert panel members, and through our joint work with PSNI. Now, here's the response from some of the people who really matter. Julianne McNally, for example, her grandmother was called Annie. Annie was a resident of Dunmurry Manor Care Home. You will also hear from John Compton. He was one of the biggest brains in the health service. He's the former chief executive of the Health and Social Care Board in Northern Ireland. Here's their reaction to what we revealed to them last night.
Who pays the piper calls the tune.
Shattered. That's just shattering to hear that. Like, we had confidence that this review was going to get us accountability. How is it going to get us accountability and get families accountability if the people that we're looking to take the accountability to are overseeing it in the first place? Are we now left with, what are we going to do now? What does that leave us now?
Now, they have, CPEA, the independent review team, they've said that if there's any attempt to do that, and we have no evidence that there would be any attempt, but they've said that while the process may allow, the actual process may allow that to happen, they will call it out and they will tell you. But it, you know, the system is set up, in their view, who pays the piper calls the tune.
It's like balls up. Excuse the language, that's what it is. That's like, Stephen, you know, we've met with this group. Our family support group have met with this group. We had confidence that this was going in a good direction, and now that's just been shattered.
John, have you ever known an independent review or those behind an independent review to use wording like who pays the piper calls the tune?
Never. Never. I mean, the language is unacceptable, really. Back to the point of why this is happening, it's about public confidence. And, that sort of language just communicates entirely the wrong message.
What's it communicate?
Well, it just communicates the message, of course, that if they're told to write something, they will be told they will write something. The defence is they'll come and tell everybody that they've been told to write something.
Now, hold on, I want to be really fair to them here.
Yeah.
They haven't said that they would accept any pressure, nor have we any evidence that any of the individuals on the oversight group would exert any pressure.
I'm simply
quoting their words.
But I'm relating to the words they use. I'm not assuming that any pressure is put on them. I'm relating to the words that they have used in terms of the reply to you.
Well, that's some of the response. You can watch Nolan live in the BBC iPlayer. It's up now. Remember, there's no evidence that Richard Pengelly or anyone else on that oversight group will try to change the independent report. They are not hiding anything. What this is about is about how it's actually been set up. It's not about what any of the people on the independent review Oversight Group will actually do. This is about public confidence. It's about your public perception, isn't it? And we asked both Julianne McNally, it was her grandmother, who was one of the residents in Dunmurry Manor Care Home, her grandmother's called Annie, and John Compton, he was the head of the Health and Social Care Board. We asked them both to give me their thoughts on the independence, their perception of the independence of this oversight group.
You know, in my experience, people who chair independent reviews are very precious about the fact that they're independent. And rightly so, actually. And very precious about who they talk to, about who they speak to, and about what they find and about what they write. And that's the whole purpose of having an independent review. If that's not the purpose, then it doesn't work. It's doing something else. And the importance of this review is that you maintain at all times public confidence.
So, do you think there will be public confidence from what people have heard
tonight? I think that needs cleared up. That needs cleared up. That needs sorted out, because clearly that sort of language will not do anything to inspire public confidence.
There is more. The review company has also conceded that the department could seek to change their report. Here's what the review company has told Nolan Live. This is the CPEA. Clearly, the overseer could dispense with our services or seek unreasonable changes to our conclusions. Should either happen, we would need to explain that to what is the now more than 300 people we have met and listened to about Dunmurry Manor and other care homes. Now, today, the Department of Health updated us, saying it was their intention to publish in full, subject to any confidential issues. Well, who decides what's confidential? And any advice from the PSNI re their ongoing investigation into Dunmurry Manor. Remember, what had actually happened there was we had contacted the department asking them were they publishing in full a number of weeks ago. They didn't emphatically say yes. Then we interviewed the Older Persons Commissioner. He hadn't had a commitment, he claims, that there was that the report would be published in full. And we went back to the department again today, and that was that update that we just read from them. Now, remember, there is no evidence that Richard Pengelly or anyone else will try to change the independent report. But as John has said tonight, this is about public confidence and public perception. And have you clocked what the reviewer is saying here? Let's look at this. This is CPEA saying clearly the overseer could dispense with our services or seek unreasonable changes to our conclusions. And then they say, if it happens, they'll tell you.
The language used in the statement, Stephen, that you've just read out, has to now call into question the independence of what they're doing. Has to, without a doubt. Well, for
it's
us,
the
it
perception,
call,
it's your perception of independence.
Perception, the family group are sitting in the audience and they're looking over at me and they're nodding to me and, you know, we're all going to be on the same page with this. This is just a bombshell for
us. Patricia, can I ask you what your reaction is to this tonight?
Well, first of all, it's a shock. But also, I have great faith in the review team. Mm-hmm. They're experts, they're knowledgeable, and I would say they have left no stone unturned to get to the bottom of the failings of the care system. I'm disappointed with Mr. Pengelly if that's his attitude. Independent means independent.
Well, we don't know his attitude, but we do know how it's been set up, and we do know that he is one of those who has been in this oversight group. But you're not on it. Julianne's not on it. No lay people are on it.
In fact, no family member has actually been invited to Mr. Pengelly or any of his major team to speak to the families. And I think the families should have been the first people who were spoken to. And then certainly the review team have been very thorough with
now,
the families.
The review team were speaking to you, and I think you've been impressed with how the review
certainly
team have been conducting themselves.
We have been so far.
That's why
the statements that you're reading out are such a shock, because we have been impressed.
Are they actually conceding that they could accept the review team, if you look at what they said, are they conceding that they could accept reasonable changes to their independent conclusions? And who defines reasonable? We gave the review company an opportunity to reassure us that they had built in safeguards to protect their independence. Guess what they told us? They said, that's a matter for the permanent Secondary. Here's the question. Here's what we said. What protections have been put in place to stop a conflict of interest whereby some of the oversight group have the ability to focus the investigation away from areas pertaining to them? And how did they answer it? This is probably a question for the Permanent Secretary, to whom we have access if necessary. The main mechanism to deal with this scenario is to call it out. So this man, Richard Pengelly, theoretically may not like the conclusions of an independent review, but he has chaired one of the two meetings of the oversight group. Now, these families have waited a long time for an explanation from the health service. They were promised accountability. The Department of Health, they have been robust in their statement back to the Nolan Show, back to the BBC. Here's what they've said. The department rejects outright any insinuation by the BBC of improper behaviour with regard to the independent review. The BBC questions are based on a pejorative and inaccurate interpretation of the terms of reference. To be clear, the reference to oversight is about overseeing the health and social care system's cooperation and interface with the independent review, ensuring that the review team has ready access to information, documentation and individuals, and that the system is able to act quickly in response to emerging findings should the need arise. Does that reassure you?
No, Stephen, not at all. After the bombshell tonight, I just don't know how we go forward from here. You know, my confidence now in this has just... Before I came here, it was right up there, and I was thinking this review is going to be great, and, you know, the independence of it, even though... you know, it's by the Department of Health, but I just thought we were getting somewhere with it.
So that, the reaction of Julianne McNally, one of the family members of a person who was neglected historically in the Murray Manor care home, and some of the other audience responding as well. After tonight's show, the Dunmurray Manor Families Campaign Group has said that after the revelations on Nolan Live, they are telling the Permanent Secretary that they believe he has no choice but to cancel a workshop that was planned for April, and they are demanding a meeting with him as soon as possible. Obviously, we'll keep you updated on that story. We've gone to the Department of Health this morning and we've asked them, given last night's revelations, do they have anything to say? Do they have any reassurance to give people further to what they've given us? And there is a platform on this programme, open platform on this programme, if they want to explain to people what they intend to do next. The reality is, you have a person like John Compton. He used to be at the very top of the Health and Social Care Board. He is expressing concern about this. He's expressing concern about the language that the review company used in their responses. And John says this is all about public perception, and can the public have confidence in this review, the way it's been set up. And the Older Persons Commissioner, another senior player in this story, his name is Eddie Lynch. He is demanding answers to this, and said, when I put it to him, had he ever seen the likes of this in his life, where an independent review company uses wording like, who pays the piper calls the tune? I said to him, have you ever seen the likes of this in your life? And he replied, no. 0330 80 55 55. If you want to watch the programme in full, it's on the BBC iPlayer now.